KPBS On Demand is supported by ACLU of San Diego and Imperial Counties. The work of the ACLU is about closing the gap between the America that was promised and the America that is. Learn more at www.aclu-sdic.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, April 23rd. A local congressman said he'd never received money from AIPAC, but records show otherwise. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a contract with the San Diego Housing Commission. It invests just over $1 million into a regional homeless diversion program. A board letter from Supervisors Joel Anderson and Tara Lawson-Reamer says the investment could grow to $2 million with philanthropic contributions. The program is projected to help roughly 600 households either exit or avoid experiencing homelessness altogether. Data from the 2025 point-in-time count shows that homelessness saw a 7% dip from 2024. Lawson-Reamer says the county is, quote, doubling down on what works. A total of 67 EV charging stations are set to be installed at 9 different libraries and rec centers in the city of San Diego. That includes the Linda Vista Recreation Center and the Skyline Hills Library. $16.5 million, coming from two major county grants, will be used to install the chargers. A city statement says the charging program's goal is to make EV charging more accessible to residents and visitors. It also says the chargers will be installed in historically under-resourced communities. The city says they anticipate installation to begin this fall, with the goal to have all sites operational by 2028. A basketball doubleheader is in the works for November 7th to honor late basketball legend and La Mesa native Bill Walton. The announcement that the National University Bill Walton Classic will take place at Pechanga Arena was made on the court of Walton's alma mater, Helix High School. The first game of the doubleheader will see the UC San Diego women's basketball team face off against the University of San Diego's women's team. That will be followed up by SDSU's men's team facing an opponent that will be named closer to the day of the classic. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Michelle Indeggio-Cello, an American singer, songwriter, poet, and bassist, on May 6th at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
San Diego Democratic Congressman Juan Vargas told constituents that he had not taken a single penny from pro-Israel lobbying group AIPAC. But reporter Gustavo Solis says federal campaign finance records show otherwise.
The anti-ICE protest in February outside of San Diego's federal courthouse started out as expected.
ICE out! ICE out! ICE out!
You can hear the voice of Congressman Juan Vargas joining the chants until they change to something that Vargas does not agree with.
Stop fighting Israel! Stop fighting Israel!
I disagree with that.
Stop fighting Israel!
A few moments later, activists criticized Vargas for accepting money from the pro-Israel lobbying group, AIPAC, which he clearly denies.
AIPAC has never given me a penny.
But federal campaign finance records show AIPAC is Vargas's top donor, giving him more than $225,000 over the last two campaign cycles. Vargas has not publicly explained the discrepancy, and he did not respond to multiple questions from KPBS. Recent polls show that support for Israel has plummeted among independent and Democratic voters, with 65% of Democrats saying their sympathies lie more with Palestinians than Israelis. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Poway is being sued by both the state and a local tribe over a housing development project. North County reporter Alexander Wen says ancestral human remains and other tribal cultural items were discovered at the site.
Since work began in October, at least three sets of ancestral remains have been found at the Hidden Valley Ranch housing project.
It was apparent to us that this was a village site.
Johnny Bear Contreras is the cultural committee chair for the Sampasqua Band of Kumeyaay. He says the tribe is not trying to stop the project. They just want to pause to assess the artifacts and pay proper respect to their ancestors.
There's much more that's going to have to be untangled and unwoven and looked at and discussed.
And that's why the tribe is suing the city. That's also the reason why California Attorney General Rob Bonta sued Poway under CEQA, or the California Environmental Quality Act. The AG alleges the city did not do its due diligence by conducting a new environmental review after cultural artifacts were found. Poway says the city can't stop the development because it has all the required city approvals. The alleged violations are of federal and state law. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Advocates are raising alarms about a Trump administration plan to relocate Afghan wartime allies and families from a temporary camp to the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says the Afghans are told their other option is to return to Afghanistan.
More than 1,100 Afghans vetted and approved to relocate to the United States have been stuck at Camp Al-Salih in Qatar since January 2025. The Trump administration says it's looking for responsible, voluntary resettlement options as it moves to close the camp. It's reportedly working on a deal to send the Afghans to a country experiencing its own war and refugee crisis, the Democratic Republic of Congo. California Democratic Representative Sidney Kamwagar-Dove says there's nothing voluntary about this plan.
So the option to be deported to the Taliban or to move to a catastrophic humanitarian crisis in the DRC is not a choice. It is a death sentence.
Trump halted refugee travel his first day back in office and later enacted a travel and visa ban on Afghans. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
San Diego County is among the most polluted areas in the U.S. That's according to a new report by the American Lung Association. The association says air quality in San Diego County is the fifth worst among 84 counties. The measurements were taken from 2022 to 2024. Last year's report showed San Diego County in 59th place. Will Barrett is with the association. He says new air quality monitors at the port of entry show a clearer picture of the pollution.
Now we're getting a better picture of where some of that elevated pollution, certainly in the border region, is affecting air quality in the county.
Barrett says heavy-duty trucks and ships are the top sources of pollution in the county. The report measured fine particulate matter and ozone pollutants only. Barrett says hydrogen sulfide from the Tijuana River was not factored in the measurements. A former top official in the county's Department of Animal Services has filed a claim against the county, seeking millions of dollars in damages. Investigative reporter Scott Rodd confirmed the official was fired earlier this year.
Rachel Borelli served as assistant director at the Department of Animal Services, overseeing the county's two animal shelters. Borelli was put on leave last fall after KPBS uncovered a voice message she recorded that used profane language to describe shelter dogs. She also complained there weren't enough euthanasias. The county fired her earlier this year. Now, Borelli is seeking over $8 million in damages from the county. Borelli claims a former colleague defamed her, and then the county fired her when she complained to HR. The claim does not specify how the colleague allegedly defamed her. Borelli's attorney declined to comment. Scott Rodd, KPBS News.
All right, SDNN listeners, another installation of the Pod Behind the Package is here. And this week, we sat down with fellow podcast host and journalist Jade Hindman about her covering the red carpet opening of Giants, art from the Dean Collection of Swiss Beats and Alicia Keys. The exhibit just landed at the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego in La Jolla. Here's our chat. Now, listen, before I get into exactly what you talked about and who at the carpet, let's get to know you just a little bit more, Jade. What initially led you to journalism in the first place?
Well, that's a loaded question there, Lawrence. But, you know, there were a lot of things that led me to journalism. One being, you know, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. The 10 o'clock news comes on, and the only representation of Black people on the news are people who are in mugshots or these very vague, generic descriptions. Black male, white T-shirt, blue jeans, which could be anybody, yeah. Right? So I figured, you know, some change could come from within if I became a journalist. So that's one reason. I also grew up very disturbed with my history books and why there was no Black history in the history books. Why was there this inaccurate telling of history? And so, as they say, we're the people who write the first draft of history. So that's That's what I am. That's what we do. And then a lot of it, too. Finally, when I was in college, 9/11 happened, you know, and when it happened, that solidified for me that, you know, I definitely want to do more political journalism, hard news, that sort of a thing. But if we go back and we do an autopsy on how media covered 9/11, you know, there, I as a student saw that there were so many questions that weren't being asked. In the aftermath of that. So, you know, it's just me wanting to change some of those things and some of the things that I saw.
Absolutely. And of course, as the host of Midday Edition, did you initially start in radio? Did you want to end up in podcast? Was podcast something that, like, almost timing and development you landed here? Because it's almost like it is radio. I mean, we can be honest.
It's radio on demand.
Radio when you watch it when you want. Talk to me about ending up in podcasts. What has the experience with podcasting been like for you?
It's been really good. I came from a television background. I was an anchor reporter. And then there was this opportunity to step on over into the radio podcasting side of things. And I absolutely love it because I get an opportunity to tell longer stories, if you will. I really enjoy being able to dig into an issue with folks and just talk about things and really peel back the layers of the onion to help people better understand what's going on. So,
gotcha. Yeah. When you're doing TV, they're like, Jade, you can dig into that issue in under 5 minutes.
Exactly. No, in a minute 30, 45 seconds. Go for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it gives you like that it gives you the kind of space and the ability to really talk the beginning, the end, sometimes the after, you can reiterate.
Yes.
I mean, it really gives you that ability to leave no stone unturned in a way.
Exactly.
Once again, this is Lawrence K. Jackson here with SDNN with Jade Heinemann, who covered the Giants red carpet art from the Dean Collection of Swiss Beats and Alicia Keys. Talk to me about when you spoke to Alicia. What did you ask? What questions? What was your angling? Talk to me. Take us to that carpet.
So, you know, when I talked to Alicia, I asked her, you know, basically what the art in the collection calls people to do or reflect on. She talked about, you know, all of the diversity in that collection. She talked about a piece from Hank Willis Thomas, who has a piece in there that is an X, right? And it's white and it's green, you know, lines all across this painting. And so it actually isn't paint. The X is made out of inmate uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then next to it, there's this sculpture of a police baton to draw attention and awareness to police brutality. So the curator of this event and the curator of this exhibit really did put some thought behind how they placed some of these pieces of art. But it really is one of those things where each piece tells a story.
Yeah. Giants not only speaks to the size of the art that was in the exhibit, but also speaks to the impact of the artist. I think, you know, this is, of course, for Giants, this is the only West Coast stop. The rest of the stops, selfishly, of course, went to the East Coast, Midwest a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is the first West Coast stop being in San Diego. And obviously they live here. So I know that's a portion of it is,
yes,
like the commute is shorter.
I mean, hey, you know, this is the home base for them. But I loved all the work that was in there, especially like one of the first things you see when you walk in is sort of like, you know, the turntables from Swiss Beats. You see these bikes in there. You see Alicia Keys' piano in there. And when I spoke to them, they said they really wanted to give people a sense that, you know, hey, this is home, a sense that you're welcome here. So there was really a lot of intention behind drawing the cultural connections. And you see this all throughout the museum. In addition to that, the event, let me just tell you, it was fabulous. It was fantastic. Aside from the art on the walls, I really just enjoyed seeing people. I mean, they dressed up. Fashion was their artistic expression, and I just loved it. And of course, both Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats really had a lot to say in regards to making people feel at home in this exhibit.
We feel super connected to this city, and we're so excited about just all the diversity on the walls.
Hometown Heroes. We just added Hometown Heroes to this show. It's another thing to highlight in our personal collection, but it's another thing to highlight some of the creatives that, you know, built this city and all of those places.
That was my interview with KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Heinemann. Giants is open through August 9th at the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego in La Jolla. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, polarization, budget concerns, all topics that can cause tension in the workplace. NCRC can help seasoned and emerging leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.